Hasn't it been good to be in his house tonight? I thought there were more here, but amen. Wasn't it good to be in God's house tonight? Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. We have a privilege of being in his house, gathering with his people. Tonight will mark the end of this series from Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And it may just be rhetorical to ask this of you, but to have your attention tonight is so important because there's a truth we're going to cover that a lot of Christians miss. And because they miss it, they have a crisis of faith. And I think this could, with the Lord's help, be a tremendous help for us in our lives to get a hold of this final truth. For some weeks on Wednesday night, we've been talking about making it into the Hall of Faith. And we got the visual this Wednesday. It went down last Wednesday. But if you look, and I don't know who's responsible for this, but don't you kind of, as your mind, as you look at this, does your mind kind of want to go on around the curve and see what other names are inscribed there as you look at, and wouldn't you love just to keep walking down that hall through the centuries and come to the place that your name was inscribed in the Hall of Faith? Wouldn't that be wonderful? This is the hinge or the theme of the whole chapter. Could you read it with me one more time? This will be our last time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight, this is the truth we're going to deal with on the very conclusion of this series. But I want to talk about the other side of the Hall of Faith. The other side. Not only do you wonder what's on down the hall, but what are the names on the left side here? I'm going to talk about the other side of the Hall of Faith. And we've been using examples that were given us from the chapter each week. And tonight we're going to talk about the other side of the Hall of Faith and who are on the other side. The story of the sufferers. The story of the sufferers. Let's bow our hearts just quickly here. Father, bless your word. The same spirit that anointed this author to write this chapter that so encouraged us, may that spirit be with me tonight to make clear your word. Be with hearts to encourage them and strengthen them. Holy Spirit, work beyond the human agency tonight. And may we have hearts, O Lord, that are increased in our faith. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You younger folks may not recognize who this is. This is Brother and Sister Vaughn, the long-term pastors of the church. And I've not shared this through the years. It was a personal thing shared with me as a pastor. But many years have passed, and you'll see when I end the sermon, it's actually a great testimony to give. But when I came here, Brother Vaughn had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and Sister Vaughn took up his care, and it was a tremendous job that she did taking care of him. And he grew increasingly more sickly and more handicapped by his disease, and then he was in a nursing home. And I remember one day went to talk with her, and you guys know her as the woman she was, a great woman of faith, but she was so discouraged that day, Sister Brock, and she shared with me as pastor, and she said, you know, she said, Pastor, I feel like everything that can go wrong has went wrong, and Brother Vaughn is so sick, and I've prayed for him, and I've asked God to touch him, and I've asked God to move, and she made this statement. She said, I just feel like I don't have any faith. She said, what's wrong with my faith? I just feel like I have no faith. Now, I want you to think about that as we move through this lesson tonight. The woman of God comes to this place. And who would blame her? I mean, under the situations, who would blame her of coming to that point? But I want you to think about that. We're going to end with this story as well. You see, it's very difficult to feel like you have faith when everything's going wrong in your life. Right? I mean, you're losing a job, you have a sickness, you're being attacked for your beliefs, and it's hard to feel like you have faith then. When nothing seems to be working out, it seems that your faith isn't working. Have you ever been there? Nothing was working out, and so you came to the conclusion, maybe my faith isn't working. Now, I'm going to read the remainder of the verses of this chapter, and I want you to pay particular close attention, because we're caught up with the rhetoric of what the author's saying. It's wow, wow, wow. But there's a change that happens. I want you to see if you can catch the change before I point it out tonight, okay? And here we go. We're just going to read through this. It's going to be abrupt. It's going to be sudden. But there's a huge, huge point to be made. Here we go. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me. I see that I'm not the only preacher that just didn't have enough time. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. There's a story of faith there. And Barak, there's a story of faith there. Of Samson, of Jephthah, of David. He's a large hero of faith. And Samuel, and of the prophets. In other words, he said, I could go on and give you examples of great faith, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Who would that be? They quenched the violence of fire. The three Hebrew children. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received. We haven't got there yet. Are you looking for that change? Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember Elisha? She raised that, or he raised that woman's dead son. And others were, did you catch it? There's a change. I mean, quench the violence of fire, stop the mouths of lions, overcome kingdoms, have their dead raised. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There it is, and others. We're talking about the other side of the hall of faith. Sufferers. It tells us more about these others. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. I mean, you thought it was bad, but listen, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Some say that was Isaiah the prophet. They sawed him in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They were rich prophets who had several sports cars and mansions and all kinds of money in the bank, right? What did it say? They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I mean, all these examples of faith, tremendous things happening, having a child in old age, walls crumbling and going through the Red Sea, all these wonderful examples. And then it said, and others, tortured, poor, on the run, horrible things happening to them. You say, I'm one of those others. How many's ever felt like one of the others? Your line still roared. Your fire still burned. Your wall still stood. Have you ever felt like one of the others? You know, let me give you a few examples. Here you are. You're trying to have faith in God. You're trying to believe. You're trying to trust Him. You are 16. And your friend, when he turned 16, his parents bought him a sports car. And you're trying to believe God, and you're still riding a bicycle. You're one of those others. Your kids suffer a sickness, a disease. Your sister has 8 kids. And when one of them got sick, she prayed and that kid got healed, and your kid's still sick. One of those others. You prayed for your loved one that God would heal her. She didn't get well, and I'm just going to be frank tonight. She didn't get well. She died. And another family, they had someone sick, and they prayed for her, and God raised her up from her deathbed, and she lived another 25 years. Your brother prayed for a better job, and now he's prospering. You prayed for a better job, and you got laid off. Have you ever felt like one of the others? Have you ever been here, maybe in a testimony service? You want to rejoice with others as they testify what God has done, but you're also wondering, what's wrong with me? It's not happening with me. I pray. I've been in church. I've been faithful. And when you get to this point, you start asking questions. Is there something wrong with my faith? Now, I don't have time to deal with that tonight. I mean, it's a given that sometimes we're not receiving from the Lord because we're not doing right. We're not being right. We're not trusting God. But I'm talking tonight. We're going to leave it here. I'm not going to keep qualifying it. We're talking about folks that are literally trying to believe and trust God with all their hearts. And you hear people everywhere across the church, God answered my prayer, God healed my sick, God gave me a job, and none of that's happening to you. And so you say, what's wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my faith? And I'll tell you what the next question is. Isn't just, is there something wrong with my faith? It's the question is, is there something wrong with faith? I mean, it's this thing of being able to trust God for real. Or maybe there's something wrong with the promises. Maybe the promises don't work. And then you know where that all leads? Pretty soon, if we're not careful, we start asking the question, is there something wrong about God? Our faith is affected because it doesn't seem like the results are there. It looks like some, as we read through chapter 11, it looks like some really had faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the vine. It looks like some really had faith, but these others, it looked like they didn't have faith. No. The point of Hebrews 11 is both of those classes of people had faith. Both the ones that had the miracles, both the ones that had the walls fall, both the ones that had their sick healed, and the ones that were tortured, and the ones that were destitute, and the ones that suffered, and the ones that were persecuted, and the ones that were... Both of those groups of people, the point of chapter 11 is both of those classes of folks had faith. And this is the truth that's missed by so many Christians, especially when we've lived with about 30 years of hearing the false doctrine that if you really have faith, every promotion is yours. If you really have faith, you'll either get healed every time or you'll never be sick. If you really have faith, you'll always prosper in heaven. That's an errant gospel. And chapter 11 strictly speaks against that. The man that believed God for the healing of his sick, he had faith, but so did the man that watched his family die for their faith in Christ. Can you say amen tonight? Both those that won great victories and those that suffered death had faith. That's the point of chapter 11. And you got to remember this. Both were mentioned in this hall of faith. And what I want us to do, I want us to look at what is being said by the inclusion of these that had bad results for their faith. That's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at those that had bad results for their faith. Do you realize something? I want you to think about this. The Bible never had to say, and others. It could have left that out of the chapter. Sister Brock, it could have left out that some for their faith were sawn in two. Could have left that out. It could have left out that they were so poor they couldn't afford. It could have left all of that out. But I'm telling you, I appreciate truth. And God wanted to tell the truth. You have faith in him and some serve. So why did God leave it in chapter 11? Well, first of all, let's not forget, those that were tortured and suffered, they deserve to be in the hall of faith just as much as the successful ones. And perhaps more. They deserve to be there. But we also got to remember one other reason that these others are in the hall of faith. Because God wanted to say something to us on March 19th, 2014. He wanted us to have a lesson from this and to grasp a truth. Can you say amen? And I'm going to share just three truths about the others. Here's the first one. There is nothing wrong with your faith when things aren't going well. See, and again, I told you I'm not going to keep qualifying it. We're not talking about the possibility we can get away from God, we can't do that. But I'm talking about you're really trying to serve and believe God. There's a conclusion the enemy would like you to come to, and that is if things aren't going well in your life, if you're not getting answers to prayer, then there's something wrong with your faith. I want to say on the testimony of these others in the hall of faith, just because you're not getting the answer that you're praying for, just because things aren't happening well in your life, that does not mean that something is wrong with your faith. Amen. What of bad things happening to good people? Did you know bad things happen to good people? What about when your walls don't fall like Jericho? What about when your Red Sea's not parted? What about the three got let out of the fiery furnace? But what about you're still in it? Tonight, you're in the fiery furnace. Amen. You don't see the promise fulfilled. You know, you can begin to think either what I believe isn't true or there's something wrong with my faith. It's not working for me. And then you could even go a little bit further and say, well, you know, God doesn't care or God's not able. No, the lesson is if you put your trust in God and things aren't going well, there's nothing wrong with your faith and there's nothing wrong with your God. There's something else at work. Now I want you to notice, how can I say that when things aren't going well, there's nothing wrong with your faith? Look at these others. There was nothing wrong with them or their faith. How do I know it? There's two clues in the scripture I read. First of all, it said, of whom the world was not worthy. That doesn't sound to me like people that's got problems. That sounds like people that God esteems. I mean, that parenthetical note, that came by the Holy Spirit. He's writing about these that put their trust in God. They're ridiculed. They're persecuted. They're slandered. And by the Holy Spirit, God said, I want you to know something about these folks. The world wasn't even worthy of them. They were such godly men and women. They had such faith in me. Isn't that a complete opposite of what is errantly taught today, that if you're really spiritual, and if you really got faith, just blessings pour out upon you all the time and miracles are worked everywhere. God said, these who suffered, their faith is in him. There's nothing wrong with their faith. The world's not even. And then here's another thing it says, the clue in the text. And these all, and we're talking about not just the ones where the walls fell and the dead were raised to life, but these that suffered, these all, both groups, having obtained a good report through faith. And here's those others. They received not the promise. They didn't get what they were looking for, yet the scripture says, and God through the scripture, they got an A+ on their faith. And yet they suffered. They got an A+ on their faith. But it looked like their faith or their prayers weren't answered. They got an A+ on their faith. And yet their job is suffering or their sickness in their family. Amen. There is nothing wrong with their faith. What matters isn't how we ourselves judge our faith, and it's not even important how others judge our faith. I'll tell you what's important. It's how God judges our faith. And God said, I give them an A+. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that? Amen. What a believer goes through, whether he succeeds or not, is delivered or not, is not an indication of his faith. And I may be being too redundant, but you look at one person, they prayed for a new car and they drive it on the lot the next Sunday. A person over here has been praying, driving an old car that keeps breaking down over and over. They've been praying for months and they drive that old car in on the lot and it breaks down and oil. Ooh, that one's got faith. Faith. That one, well, we need to pray for that fella. He's got some secret sin. No. What you're going through is not an indication of your faith. Hallelujah. Anyone recognize him? Have you ever wondered about this in the New Testament church, the book of Acts? Right off the bat, Herod took the Apostle James and beheaded him. Peter, he's going to do the same thing with Peter, and God delivered Peter, setting free from prison. It'd be a huge mistake to say that God delivered Peter because Peter's faith was greater than the Apostle James. I don't believe it for one moment. I believe Apostle James had just as sure of faith in God as Peter did. What about, since we're in the New Testament church, what about Stephen? Stephen preached with power. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And they took him and stoned him when his ministry was hardly started. And yet somebody that started with him, Philip, went on and preached for years and had great revivals. It would be a mistake to say that Philip had more faith than Stephen. Amen? So never make the mistake that just because things are going wrong, there's something wrong with your faith. Secondly, you may not see the result of your faith until the next life in the other world. Our faith spans two worlds. Have you ever skipped a page in your check registry when you're trying to balance things? It'll never balance. Won't do it. Most people know how to balance a checkbook, but I digress. I'm not going to get on that. Too lazy to balance your checkbook. That probably wouldn't get too many amens. But you know why sometimes this thing with faith and serving God doesn't seem to add up? You're only looking at one half of the ledger. The other page is kept in heaven. It's all going to add up there. Are you hearing me? Every prayer may not be answered here. They're going to be answered there. Amen. Every problem may not be solved here. They're going to be solved there. Amen. That's the scripture. You may not see the result of your faith until the next life. Look at the scripture earlier in Hebrews. These all died in faith. They died in faith. They had faith. They died. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Did they lack faith? No. But they did not see their faith realized in this life. But they have by now. Because they're in eternity with God. It doesn't mean that they never received the promises. They just didn't receive them in this lifetime. I have an expression, and I mean different things about this. And this is not a melancholy statement. It's just a statement of fact. But it occurred to me several years ago. Wasn't that a great miracle when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Tremendous. Nothing like it. Hallelujah. That's true. Let me tell you what came to me. Lazarus died again. Here's the reason. Your faith can never reach its end until we get into the next life with God and spend eternity with Him. Even if God made everything perfect, we still wouldn't have reached the end of our faith until we're in heaven with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, on that great getting up morning, Lazarus not only died again, but he's going to rise again. That doesn't mean we will never in this life not see a prayer answer. That doesn't mean what I'm preaching tonight, we won't see miracles take place as a result. I believe we will. See, that's the whole point. It's not all one or the other. It's not no miracles, no answers to prayer. It's not suffer. Both are in the hall of faith. And so, yes, some things will wait till heaven for we'll see them realize in the end of our faith. But that doesn't mean we won't see miracles right now. In fact, I like what the psalmist said. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the truth of the matter is, God knows that. And that's why, yes, we suffer, but if you get to thinking about it, you will, even in your suffering, you'll find that God has in your life done things right now in the land of the living for you. Everything isn't going to wait till heaven. I know I'm preaching that some things will wait till we get to heaven, but everything's not going to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to have some things happen in the land of the living too. Can you say amen? And we'll see his goodness. Amen. And then the last point I want to make. The first is, just because bad things are happening doesn't mean there's something wrong with your faith. The second is, all of our faith will not be realized in this life. Some of our faith will be realized in the next. Every one of those that tortured and they lived in caves and all that, they're in heaven now. They're in the presence of God. They're not in goat skins now. Amen. They're not suffering now. But the third point is, your faith, although you cannot see it, my mind just caught up with me. One more thing about that next life. It said all those that suffered, they had faith that there was a better resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have faith in a better resurrection? A better city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? A better country? A better time? A better world? The last thing, your faith, although you cannot see it, is working on others' behalf. That should be S apostrophe for you grammarians. It's working on others' behalf. We don't know that. But look at this last verse, and we could spend a lot of time. We won't. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They suffered. They went through all that. But have you ever thought what that's saying? Had not those Old Testament saints had faith, even those whose faith got them killed, those who lived in poverty, if they hadn't had faith, the Old Testament, there would have never been a New Testament. Brother Jim, if Isaiah hadn't had faith, even though it got him sawn in two, we wouldn't have had the book of Isaiah that said, surely he shall bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Aren't you glad they had faith? That's why we have the New Testament. And it's more than that. That's why we have the Christ. They had faith. Many of them killed. What they believed was only leading to the coming of Jesus and all that he's did for humanity, what he's done for us. The Old Testament's faith prepared for the New Testament's faith. Amen. The New Testament's faith vindicated the faith of the Old Testament saints. And if you look at it, it's a mutual thing. Had it not been for the faith of the Old Testament, there wouldn't have been New Testament saints. But the New Testament's faith says to the Old Testament saints, your faith was right. Your faith was true, it's real, and it came together in what Jesus has done for us. And the point that I want to make, when these that were suffering for their faith, they didn't realize perhaps that because of their faith, all these 2,000 years and more later, we're sitting in a church tonight with our lives changed because those Old Testament saints had faith even when they suffered for it. And I'm going to tell you, you're in the midst of a trial. You're in a dark place. If you'll have faith in Jesus Christ, not only will it take you through that, but you will not believe the effect it will have on the faith of others. I believe that tonight, don't you? I'm not going to tell the story. Brother Heath probably could tell us different ones, but I've read many accounts where a missionary went by faith and labored in a country, didn't see a convert, watched his family die of disease, and left thinking that he had had no impact. And somebody would come many years later and find out that because that missionary had been there, that village upon village had turned to the Lord. He thought his faith was a failure. Amen. But it had impact on others around him. Amen. And so I want to go back to where we started tonight. Sister Vaughn said, I just feel like something's wrong with my faith, that not getting an answer prayer. And I remember what I told her, and I won't get the exact words, but I said, Sister Vaughn, that's not the way I see it. I see that you have great faith. All that you've been through, all that you've suffered, all that you've had to watch as your husband suffered, and you've kept loving Jesus, You've kept a sweet spirit. You've kept trusting in the Lord. I said, the way I look at it, you have greater faith than if Brother Vaughn had have been healed. I believe that. I want to ask you just a few questions as we close. Which takes greater faith? I want you to think about this. To pray about a big bill and get an immediate check in the mail, or to pray and wait for weeks and weeks and still there not be a check in the mail? Which takes greater faith and trust in the Lord? What takes greater faith and trust in the Lord? To pray, and as soon as you pray, and these things happen, believe me, I'm not canceling those things out at all, but you pray for your loved one who's sick and has a terminal disease, and you pray and that one's immediately healed, or there's someone that you love and they have a terminal disease, and you pray and their condition deteriorates day. Which takes greater faith, to believe God? What about this? You pray for a godly spouse and pray that you'll be married by 20 and it happens? Or you pray for a godly spouse and you pray for a godly spouse and you pray for a godly spouse and years pass and you're still waiting for that godly spouse? What takes more faith? And on we could go. You know what I think the answer is? It's that others. The others in the hall of faith. I venture, you know, we got the names of the others because they did great things by faith. The sufferers, we don't even have their names. But we will know them when we get to heaven. I promise you, they'll be chiseled on the halls, the hall of faith. I venture to say that more have been impressed by Christians who have gone through great trial and kept their faith and trust in God than those who are always reporting a miracle. I want you to think about what I just said. I've seen it in this church. I've seen folks face unbelievable circumstances and keep singing the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord, faithful to Him. And I got to tell you the truth, I put more stock in that faith than someone, you know, God's moving for them every 24 hours. I'm not doubting anything. I'm just saying, to me, that's an example of faith and trust in the Lord. You say, isn't that negative? No, because remember, whatever didn't get answered here, it's going to get answered there. Whatever didn't get healed there is going to be healed there. Whatever problem didn't get worked out here, it's going to be worked out. Your faith never failed you. It'll take you through. It'll get you there. You will see the end of your faith. Amen. Amen. Don't forget either side. By faith, there were miracles. By faith, they were tortured. Don't forget either side. Don't get so caught up with the victorious side that you think there's something wrong with you when you suffer. And don't get so caught up with those that suffer for their faith and forget that God does bring victories for our faith. Music, would you come? You may remember I say this often. Why should we pray when sometimes we don't see answers? I want to tell you tonight, this is my final word of admonition. Keep the faith. God always answers prayer in crises. Always, every time. He'll do one or two things. He'll either give you deliverance out of the crises, or He'll give you grace to get through the crisis. But every time, if your faith is in Him, He'll do that. Deliverance from the crisis, or grace to get through it. Now, I know what I prefer. How many prefers the deliverance? But if we don't get it, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Hallelujah. Do you trust Him? Amen. One of Sister Juanita's songs that they were singing a lot there at the end was Living by Faith in Jesus Above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What about the other side of faith? Just as much faith as all those victories. I'm going to trust Him. How many's going to trust Him through the storm, through the valley, through the dark time? Oh, hallelujah. He's never failed me yet. Never fail. Hallelujah. You see, this is an answer to the enemy. When things aren't working in your life, he'll beat you up. Well, I'll tell you what, if you was a man of faith, this wouldn't be happening. He's a liar. I've read the book. I've read Hebrews chapter 11. I've seen the other side of the hall of faith and others tortured, this and that. But make no mistake, right now tonight, they have received the promise. Hallelujah. Let's stand across the building. Amen. Would you just like to come and let's let the Word of God just kind of soak down into our hearts tonight? Would you like to do that? Would you come across the building? Let's take some time to talk to the Lord about the Word we heard tonight. Trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. Hallelujah. Trusting in the Lord.